and more. Deuce and more. Deuce and more. They tell you what they know. Deuce and more. Deuce and more. Deuce and more. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Friday night after the Kings' second preseason game. And guess what, guys?
What?
Let's celebrate. We don't have to see Kings Warriors again until January.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm just over it. We can look at other teams for a minute. This preseason game went in favor of the Golden State Warriors. Boo. They win 109 to 106. The Kings fall to 0-2. Will they ever come back from this? Anyway, there's a lot to go over from this game. As the Kings starters played into the third quarter, Kings were a bit shorthanded. Another player missing tonight, Malik Monk, did not play due to personal reasons. It doesn't sound like he's going to be gone that long, so that's the good news. But plenty to break down tonight with Deuce and Mo as we inch closer and closer to the start of the NBA regular season. Morgan Reagan, how you doing?
Great. Fantastic. Super happy to just have Kings basketball back.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
There's some good tonight.
Well, and that's the fun part about this, right? Is that we actually got to see, two and a half quarters of that, some of the starting unit out there. And
all the starters played at least 25 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a nice, healthy sample size tonight.
I completely agree. Even whoever they're playing against... You know, when Steve Kerr decided to pull some of his guys or whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. You want to see them still execute certain actions, all the little things, defense, transition defense. And I just thought there was a lot of good. It was fun.
The first good tonight. We got to start with Keegan Murray.
Hey.
Keegan Murray, I thought, was fantastic in this game. And we're all looking for growth in his game. Defensively, he took a step last year. I think he's taking another step. The first two preseason games, the versatility, the physicality on defense is there. I mean, early stages of this game, he had a couple of deflections. He ends tonight with 5 steals, and I can't wait to see what the numbers say tomorrow in the hustle stats. I'm going to guess, like, if they were counting accurately, he's probably got like 5 or 6 deflections.
Yeah. I mean, defensively.
According to me.
We're going back to
Deuce. If I was counting deflections, I think Keegan would average about 6 a game, an NBA record.
I know, but did you ever find out about the last game? Go on.
Your thoughts on what you saw from Keegan on that side of the ball first.
Defensively.
Yeah.
Okay. I was more excited to start with the offense. But, I mean, how great is it that we get to talk about both sides with him being such a positive? And defensively, it felt like it didn't matter if a bigger body was going into him or he was having to stay with a smaller body. For example, like there's moments when he was on Steph or when he was on Draymond. And I just feel like he's so versatile out there on the defensive end, but then also being able to somehow take another leap with his physicality on that end of the floor as well is really exciting to see. I mean, he does all everything right, you know, fundamentally.
Yep.
Hands are up. I can't say he's talking because I can't actually see sometimes if he's talking or not. But I'm assuming because so many things are happening the right way that teammates are talking to one another. And I just love what we're seeing with him defensively.
Great on ball. Good on, obviously, I think, elite in isolation situations when it comes to defense. His help defense was there. He had one play tonight where he's picking up Steph Curry.
Yeah.
The whole way up the court. And then Steph's going to get in action with Looney. And then he helps on Looney and blocks Looney's shot.
Yeah.
That activity just got me fired up. And I think Morgan, obviously, you were saying you were more excited about what he did offensively tonight. And I'm with you on that end. Yeah, I thought Keegan had a really good game. And I think offensively, what excited you was how aggressive he was with the ball.
Yes. Like the way that he was like, what, a freight train? The way he didn't give a shit who was in his way. He was going to go through them. But it's not chaotic. I mean, he would body through someone and then have the patience to have this nice finesse on his shot in the mid-range or somewhere in the paint. And then the way that he would go through, I think it was, there was a time he was going baseline or maybe it could have just been down the right side.
No, it was baseline and he attacked Moody and Draymond. That's who it was. Drew the foul.
Yep. And I thought the way that he was trying to push through both them, Draymond's a strong guy. He's a strong guy and he's a little bit, I don't want to say dirty, but like he will do what he needs to do. Like, you know, bump into Keon, throw somebody, whatever he needs to do. And hey, guess what? He's gotten away with so much, so just keep doing it. I don't blame him.
I don't mean to get off on a tangent here because you just brought this up, so I just want to deal with it now.
Yeah.
That play you're talking about where he kind of knocked down Keon, the camera panned away, so I didn't see anything happen after that, but I said this last year at times. I remember the Houston game when, like, Dylan Brooks, like, chucked down Chris Duarte. No one did anything about it. I know it's preseason. I'm not saying go out and fight somebody, but I'm telling you, like, If Draymond's going to be frustrated with a non-call on one end and then come down and knock down one of your guys in kind of an aggressive way, don't be afraid to give him a little bump. Don't get afraid to give him a little push because you need to stand up for your teammates and show, like, we're not taking shit. Or Keon Ellis, Keon, get up and get in his face a little bit. Like, I'd like to see this Kings team do a little more barking in that regard. If they're going to play physical with you, you're not going to do anything, they're going to know, oh, we can get away with this shit.
No, I'm with you on that because I think in some ways it's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing because that's the shit he's pulled his entire career. And so it's like, okay, you already know that's his personality and that's what he's going to do. But what is your reaction going to be when you need to step up for your teammate? Or even like you mentioned to me, I think during that play, you're like, God, can DeMar say something to him? You know, because they have a relationship. Even it's like, don't pull that shit. Like, even just the simple verbiage, right? Like, anyway, yes, that is something hopefully we see. Trey Lyles obviously is out, but he's someone that does not let anyone punk him or his teammates. But
back to Keegan.
Back to Keegan, strong play, trying to go through Draymond's and Moody's arms, and it looked like he was trying to throw it down and not just go up with the layup. He goes to the free throw line. And he just had those aggressive, physical plays on the offensive end a lot tonight, and it really stood out to me.
Yeah, and it was exciting to see that type of aggressiveness. I still think there are times when he attacks, he goes for more of the finesse play, like the floater, which I'm fine with. There's, I think, opportunities for him to go and be like, try to dunk on somebody, you know. I think he has more explosion than he shows.
Okay.
Just explosiveness. Show me that explosiveness and go dunk on somebody or get fouled. Now, the most encouraging aspect of what you just talked about, that baseline drive that he had on Moody and Draymond, was him getting the free throw line. It was something he talked about Media Day, that he wants to get to the free throw line more because he thinks he's a good free throw shooter. And he took like two a game. And it's exactly right. Like, you need to get to the line. Tonight, 6 of 8 at the free throw line. He took 8 free throw attempts, and that's exactly the type of thing you want to see from Keegan Murray.
Yeah, and that goes to show him being aggressive and attacking and doing the right thing. And I'm with you on, you know, dunking on someone, throwing it down or whatever, but I feel like he is now in year 3 at the stage of reading the situation. He's not just pulling back from being aggressive. He's reading the situation. Okay, this is where a floater needs to be. I know I can dunk it and I will throw it down when I need to. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like that takes a different type of energy and force too on your body and just that possession as a whole. If you get the two, you get the two.
Well, one thing I also liked, you talked about that one play he had baseline, but he had another push in transition where he got the rebound or got the outlet, and it was like a push dribble, aggressive, and he went right at Kuminga and drew a foul.
Yeah.
Just instantly. He just took the bump from Kuminga.
Freight train.
It was the type of thing that we didn't always see from Keegan in the first couple of years. You know, maybe he's looking to pass right away, and it seems like through the first two preseason games, oh, he's not afraid to bring the ball up and like orchestrate a little bit, make something happen. So for me, Keegan Murray like shined tonight, and it was on both ends. You get this type of aggressiveness from Keegan, that's going to mean good things for Sacramento.
Yeah, and I think something we didn't see as much of tonight was, and obviously because the Warriors made these adjustments as they should, when Keegan was being defended, he wasn't open as many times for the over-the-top situations for Sabonis to find him. You know, the Warriors did a much better job managing that tonight.
They started bigger, too. They started yes. Moses Moody, Kyle Anderson, and Draymond to go along with GP2 and Steph. This is their third different starting lineup. Last lineup was pretty small, and the Kings took advantage of that.
Yeah, no, so I liked seeing them be able to still have different things to their offensive game against the same team, you know, especially if certain things are being adjusted and taken away.
One play that we both are like, holy shit.
What?
Was, I think, Keegan outlet to Sabonis pushing, and then Keegan ran the floor on the right side, and Sabonis threw a pass that looked like had no chance. It looked like there was no chance it was going to get there, yes. And it got there.
Okay, so I think GP2 got switched on him, and he was completely not seeing ball. He was not seeing ball. He was just making sure that like this pass wasn't going to get to Keegan. But I think because he was so worried about the lob, what was so beautiful about it is that Sabonis made it this bounce. But somehow it got past GP2 because he wasn't looking and was denying high and not low. And Keegan was able to get a layup. It was, again, just tremendous vision by Sabonis and a great cut by Keegan.
So we just spent the first few minutes of the pod talking a lot of Keegan Murray. The Kings starters as a whole look good again tonight. I think the offense, at least in this matchup against the Golden State Warriors and the preseason, blah, blah, blah. But what I'm looking for is, okay, you're adding DeMar DeRozan to the fold. Does it look clunky ever? And so far, it just looks like it's made everything easier for everybody.
Yeah. It flows.
DeMar DeRozan's just like a bucket. I mean, I don't know what more can you say. I mean, he missed a few more shots tonight. Of course, he was 6-6 in his debut. Tonight, he had 16 points, 6 assists. He was 6-14, 3-4 at the free throw line, 1-3 from downtown. But he had some beautiful mid-range looks tonight. I mean, he went at Buddy Hield a few times. Missed some shots, but I thought he was marvelous.
I thought at times when Kyle Anderson was contesting his shot and putting a hand in his face, and I was like, why is he going to shoot that? Oh, that's why he's going to shoot that. Because it's muscle memory. Like, he does that shit in his sleep, you know? And so, I mean, there's going to be nights that you are going to be off or someone is going to be extra handsy with you and throw your game off. But it feels like it's going to be at times this automatic bucket if a defense screws up a possession.
And then, you know, end of game situations, end of quarter, end of the first, he missed the shot, but he got the switch he wanted with Buddy on him, got a great look, missed it. End of the second quarter, in a situation where he had, who did he have on him? I think it was Moses Moody. He had Moses Moody on him, and he was just patient, pump fake. And then he's still going to pull up on you. And he did and made the shot. And it's just like, this guy scores so efficiently. Mm-hmm. And everyone talks about, oh, he plays at his own pace. He does. But his scoring is there. But the playmaking is there. You could just see how much attention he is drawing. And you're seeing how explosive this Kings offense could be with him and Fox, two guys that the defenses have to acknowledge. Yeah. They cannot ignore those guys.
Yeah. No, I love that about his offensive game and just the discipline with all the actions that this team does run, especially with him being included. And I know it's like free-flowing basketball, but you still, I mean, if when you're watching it, you're seeing people not just go through the motions and set a pin down and a DHO. You know, it's like they're doing most things with a purpose, whether it's a backdoor cut. Like, it's, they're locked in like that, and it's only going to get better. Now, the one bad thing that bothered me tonight about DeMar.
Well, you watch your fucking mouth.
Was when Buddy Hield burned him. And just defensively, it was one of those moments I was like, Yeah, he.
Like, why would you bring that up?
Because it really hurt my heart and it sucks.
It's a shot at DeMar and it's giving love to Buddy Hield.
I'm not. Well, it's not giving love. It's like Buddy Hield did that. I guess no. That's mean.
Well, if you're gonna mention that,
yeah.
Let's mention when Buddy was pushing in transition, DeMar just came in and just punched that ball
literally
away.
Punched the ball away. Love
going
that.
Back to your point, let's not gloss over it. Yeah, we talked about this when they signed DeMar. I actually think DeRozan, I think he's listed at like 6'6". What is he listed at?
Yeah, what is he listed at?
Because I'm telling you, I'd see him next to Draymond the last couple of games. He looks taller than Draymond.
Yes.
So DeMar DeRozan is, let's see the official NBA list. Okay. Well, 6'6 on ESPN.com. Draymond is listed at 6'7.
Okay.
I don't know. NBA, like height, whatever. My point being, he's got good size, and I actually think he defends bigger guys better, right? Like he was matched up against Draymond.
Does. Yeah, he's stronger. Does.
And so, Buddy, like coming out, sometimes he's willing to take some chances on guards, and he's got to be careful with that.
He's a smart defender, and that's why when he is on a bigger body or defending a bigger body, it doesn't have to be a big, slow dude. It's just like just a bigger person. I think his IQ comes in with shadowing the basketball, ripping it away, deflection, like having his hands up, doing all the right thing, and putting him in the best place in a team defense is exactly what you're going to want to do with him. But again, still an upgrade from what we saw last season.
Yeah, it's such an upgrade from a scoring perspective. And then you think about what he can do against some bigger guys too. Yeah, it's been really impressive. And, you know, I thought his playmaking shined a little bit tonight. De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, my God. Keep shooting those threes.
You say that. I'm going to mention the first thing I noticed about him tonight.
What?
First quarter, he had a strong ass take on GP2. Gary Payton II is not like a weak guy. He's strong. But De'Aaron Fox is really strong too. And does he just come down with... It's amazing about him because people talk about his speed, but it's sometimes he could change his pace on you, and then he's strong. He'll get you out of the way, and he attacked GP2. Strong take at the rim. And then you talk about the transition stuff. One of my favorite DeMar Fox plays was Fox getting a quick outlet to DeMar DeRozan, DeMar pushing a little bit, and then dropping it off to a trailing Fox for three. And the three-point shot tonight looked fantastic for De'Aaron. He finished with 19 points, 6 rebounds. He had 3 assists. He was 4 of 6 from downtown.
Yeah, you described it as smooth when he hit his fourth one, and that's exactly it.
Man.
I mean, another year of it just looking better, and I know so many people are just like, yeah, can't he just go to the rim every single time, though? And it's what's funny about me saying that actually is when we had Keon Ellis in here and we kind of joked about that with him about, why can't De'Aaron just do that every single play? And he's like, yeah, I think he should. And it's because we were talking about also the energy that it takes possession after possession after possession while still trying to make sure that you have the right type of energy on the defensive end. It's not conserving energy. It's finding that balance of energy that you need to have. And I think just for his 3-point shot, I loved seeing it tonight. I love seeing him be a threat from the outside, but also just still such a threat when it comes to his speed. And now a little bit more of his strength.
Yeah, you're seeing it defensively too with his on ball. Like,
oh shit, yeah. He's like poking away, being active.
Defending with his chest.
Yep.
I like what I saw from De'Aaron Fox. The starters were great. We'll talk about the bench in a little bit. The bench, not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
But I mean,
it's also like it's not really the Kings bench either. So Keon Ellis tonight knocked down 3 of 7 from three.
Hell yeah.
He ends up with 12 points. He also had 2 steals. Keon's activity defensively is great too. He just has such great defensive instincts. There was one play, I believe, in the third quarter, matched up against De'Anthony Melton, and he just stays with him, battles, was able to contest it, got a piece of it.
Yeah.
Deflections again. And then the three-point shooting, and he's going to get great looks. There was one play where Fox set a screen for him. He goes, cuts to the basket around, and then you had Keegan Murray set a screen for him in the corner. He pops, hits the corner three, and is fouled. And you're just seeing the Kings' offense has so much movement, and it's been the case the last couple of years, but I think now when you add DeMar to the fold
different
with his
playmaking
and his like just being a pure bucket in this league, one of the best scorers in the game, it's
people,
just insane.
People
like,
aren't sagging off. People are doing their homework. They understand and saw that Keon Ellis shot over 40% last year from three. They're seeing that De'Aaron Fox not only can be a threat from the outside, but also if you sag off of him, he's still going to find a way to still attack you. DeMar DeRozan, straight up bucket. We've seen how people have to hug him. And then Domas, he might not be the biggest threat with his mid-range quite yet, but he's also someone, if you give him enough space, not only maybe he will keep getting that shot, that look more and more and getting confident with it, but you're giving him his vision and his ability to find the open man on the floor. So you think about how the defense has to play up on a lot of those guys out there, especially that starting unit, makes things more fun on that end.
A lot more fun. And the thing with Keon too is like, in some ways, You got to remember, like, he was on a two-way deal at the start of last year.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of training camp last year, I remember Mike Brown talking about, yeah, we'll see, like, maybe he could play some backup point guard or battling for some point guard responsibilities.
Yeah.
And they talk about, oh, maybe him or Colby and Jordan. Keon was not really in the plans to start. And then he got a little time early in the season when the Kings were getting their asses kicked in Houston. They throw him in there. He does some good things. Then he's in the rotation. Then he's out. Just inconsistent. And then the Kings have some injuries, and it changed everything. But my point is, now he is here from the start, and now we're getting a greater sample size of like, oh, this isn't like some like fluky shit. Like, he played meaningful games at the end of last year.
Yep.
He comes in, he's competing his ass off at camp. He does exactly what you want. Like, seems like the greatest guy.
I know.
Right? Like, he's coachable. He just wants to go in there like, all right, I know I'm not going to go out there and score 20, but what I do know is I'm going to go at stages of the game, guard some of the best guards, right? And I'm going to make their life tough, picking them up 94 feet. And then I'm going to move without the ball. I'm going to catch and shoot for three and have some fun out here.
Right now, you have a starting unit that it seems to be egoless and selfless. Mm-hmm. Like, though, in those things of understanding your role. But then also, again, I mentioned balance earlier, trying to find the balance of turning up the ego a little bit and being like, this bucket's mine. You know you can get that from De'Aaron. You know you can get that from DeMar.
Sure.
But that's something, too, that you want to see from even Sabonis being like, all right, I'm going to take this guy. I'm going to post up big and just go. Keegan, obviously, we keep talking about him being more aggressive. And then Keon even understanding that your role isn't just to play perimeter defense. It's really to make sure that you're also creating on the offensive end. You're also becoming this threat on the offensive end. I think he really does understand that.
We had a really great adjustment. I think DeMar gave him that pass. Like, was DeMar like at the free throw, opposite free throw line with an outlet pass to Keon, who attacked, defense came, and then he was able to steer it to Fox at the last
second. Fox
was
still running his lane. He was going to get a rebound instead. Got the easy two on the left-hand side.
It was gorgeous.
Yes.
Sabonis' game. So game one of the preseason, he did not attempt a three. And a couple of days ago at Kings practice, Mike Brown said, you know, I'd like him to take like 3 to 5 a game.
Yeah.
Not going to happen every game. He didn't take one in game one. Tonight, he took 3 of them. He was 0-for-3. I know one of them you did not like, and why was that?
Oh, my God, because he hesitated. It was, I mean, Mike Brown has been saying since year one, no hezzies. And what we saw from this first preseason game with Sabonis in the mid-range was just this smooth, confident, quick mid-range jumper, right? Shot, flow, the mechanics, mwah, beautiful. Then with that, it was like, he thought about it. I'm cool with him having to like set up, but it was, he was setting up and thinking, should I shoot this? Don't think, shoot, especially when you're that open, especially it's preseason. This is exactly when you need to practice that.
I'm glad he took some, but I'm with you. The hesitation can't be there. He did hit another mid-range shot tonight early in the game. Did not hesitate with that one. Keon Ellis, I think, drove baseline, was able to kick it out to him. He was wide open. Draymond gave him that space. He took it right away and knocked it in. And so, you know, I'm less concerned about the 3-point like attempts. Like, I would like it to go up for sure, mm-hmm. more than one. But also, they're not always going to be there, right? No. I just don't want the hesitation from the mid-ranger three. That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
And he has proven that he can do that. Knock down that shot.
Make it part of your game. Make it, I mean, just like, yep. And when I say that, it's not like, oh, practice it. It's no. You, this is in NBA minutes. You have to be willing to have that same type of confidence. It's not like an, a big shot of three. It's like, damn straight, you shot a three. It's part of your game. Let's go. Oh, you missed it. It was in and out. All good. Get back on D. Like, figure, you know, I think the broadcast said something about like, you'll take that from him because then he's not in there rebounding. But then you look at a game like this, and the Kings had 18 offensive rebounds because people are crashing the boards on the offensive end now since Mike Brown has made that adjustment as well.
Yeah, the offensive rebounding was fantastic in this game for Sacramento. Sabonis had 5 offensive rebounds, and he was just getting his hand on a ball too, you know, and just playing tough. And the Kings are doing different things, and they explored a little bit last year too, but they're crashing from the weak side corner. And that's led to some good things. You saw it a couple of times tonight, I believe, with Isaiah Crawford, who was just a menace trying to get his hand on a ball crashing. So that was cool to see too. We talked about everyone in the starting lineup, right? DeMar, Keegan, Demonis, Keon.
Yep.
De'Aaron. A couple of plays, one more other play I liked in this game, Keegan with a steal, and he looked up the floor, saw Sabonis do a great job, seal Steph Curry, got him the rock. Love that shit.
Do that again?
Love that
shit. Wow.
Yeah.
It was a good moment. But, you okay? Did you hurt yourself?
No.
You just reached back, and I thought maybe you hurt yourself clapping. I was like,
I don't think so.
Preseason mode.
No, I'm great. I am great. We got to talk about the bench in a little bit, but who would you say your player of the game, your simply the best player of the game would be for this one, Morgan? Reagan?
Keegan.
Let's see if we agree.
Yeah!
Simply the best player of the game goes to Keegan
Murray.
17 points, 5 steals, 2 assists, 5-11 shooting, 6-8 at the free throw line. Simply the best player of the game presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Yeah, I need this version of Keegan Murray getting to the goddamn free throw line. I'm trying to check myself the Kings starting five. I was excited before I saw it, but I'm getting more excited as I see it here in the preseason because it just, the flow seems to be there. It's not always about the end result. You're going to miss shots. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes. But for a new group that's just learning to play together, that starting group, everyone played 25 minutes tonight, right? That starting group combined had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
Right? And
they did a good job scoring in transition off the Warriors' turnovers.
3, 5, 9, 11. 17 assists for the starters.
Damn. Ball was moving. Things are flowing. The energy's going on that on both ends. Yes.
17 assists and 4 turnovers for that
group.
Be
excited, but check yourself. But be excited.
I just think they have all the pieces you need to be an explosive offense. And then I think defensively, the way De'Aaron can go, the way Keon can go, and what Keegan can do, there's versatility defensively.
I agree.
Don't try to bring me down.
I just like, again, preseason's for everyone.
Yeah.
And I need you to also practice balance, a word I've used 3 times now in this podcast. And finding that balance of those emotions, you know, we got to make sure we channel them not too high, not too low.
I'm allowed to be excited for the offense. I'm allowed to. I don't think that's it. So the Kings were number one in offense 2 years ago. I think dropped to what were they last year?
I don't know.
They're like 13th last year in offense.
I don't remember any. I don't retain things.
They had a guy that can do a lot offensively.
You don't have to sell me. I know.
So I'm allowed to be, let me be excited about it.
I told you to be excited. I just said to make sure like you find the balance.
You know how to suck the joy out of it. Find the balance. This is sports. Let me be irrational sometimes, but guess what? This is not one of those moments. I'm not being irrational. People told me, the spacing could be off with this group. I don't see any spacing issues.
What a child.
I don't see it. This team is playing with pace. DeMar seems to be embracing the pace. They're getting to their spots. When they run the floor, get to the corner, get
I
to the
corner. I agree with all of this,
there's
by the way.
The cutting that's necessary. I want you guys to watch the next preseason game. Oh. Let's see the action when there's dribble handoff action between, let's say, Sabonis and DeRozan. Watch what De'Aaron Fox is doing off ball. Watch what other guys are doing. The screens are being set. The extra passes are being made. You said it, Morgan, egoless. This team, this starting group, just wants to make the right play. They don't care. Who I want to take this many shots. I want to score. No, they don't give a shit. They want to win, and I respect it. They're smart players. They play the right way. Let's go.
Let me talk to you.
I hit the wrong button, but hey.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh, God, it's so great.
Man.
I love it.
Juiced.
I say one thing, and look, he goes off.
We have some other topics we got to get to because the Kings got some good news today, too.
Ooh, they did.
Yeah, we'll wrap up this game and then move on to that stuff. Let's go to the bad tonight.
Okay.
The bench is it's rough for the Sacramento Kings at this point. And, yeah. Well, one, tonight the Kings did not have Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
It hurts so bad.
They still don't have Kevin Huerter.
Nope.
Good news on that coming soon. Jordan McLaughlin out. Trey Lyles out, Orlando Robinson out.
Yeah.
It's five. That's a lot.
It's good. It is.
Oh, and if you want to throw Devin Carter in there too, that's six.
Right. Exactly, Deuce.
So now you're in a situation where you're playing Mason Jones, who's on a two-way deal. Isaac Jones, the rookie, he's on a two-way deal. You're playing Alex Len, Colby Jones, who's in his second year, Isaiah Crawford. You saw Boogie Ellis late, Jalen McDaniels for a little bit, Scala Bissier and Broderick Thomas and Terry Taylor played for a couple of minutes tonight. Do you want to start with the good, with the bench, or the bad?
Let's go over some of the good, just because I thought, like, I mean, you can go over, I thought Boogie Ellis, Isaiah Crawford, and Isaac Jones, you know?
Like, yeah. Isaac Jones is super intriguing. And we talked about him after last game, but yeah. I just like his activity on the glass. I think in the post, he's able to do some nice things in the post. I know teams don't post up all the time anymore, but he looks effective when he gets down there, even making decisions when there is help. He makes the right play to get it to a teammate, and then attacking the offensive glass. He's just long and he gets his hand on the ball or he gets an offensive rebound. So I like what I've seen from him. When I heard last week that, like, oh, he's taking some threes after not really taking any at Washington State.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what's that look like? And Brown said he had one day during a game where he's 4 of 5 mm-hmm. on catch and shoot three opportunities, which excited me. He was 0 for 4 in this one today. And he doesn't, it's not an area of his game where he looks comfortable at all. But yeah. I'm also like, no, I want him to shoot it in these situations.
Absolutely. This is where you practice it. I mean, that's the same thing that we just talked about. It's these situations. It's these NBA minutes, preseason minutes, however you want to put it. Like, if you don't practice it in those situations, you're never going to evolve or get better. And so it's great to see that. But like you said, the activity with rebounding, crashing mm-hmm. the boards, whether it's an offensive board or just getting his hand in there, it's fantastic. It's fun. It's where I say it's fantastic. It's because it's very Mike Brown of him, right? It seems like the exact thing Mike Brown would want. So yeah, I enjoy that from him.
Isaiah Crawford too. Another
defensively,
guy
defensively. My goodness.
He's long.
Uh-huh.
Even with the ball.
Good point.
I mean, he's very comfortable handling. He definitely did that in college. He's an experienced guy. Played 5 years of college ball. But I thought tonight he got a little extended run. I ended up playing 18 minutes, and you saw a little more of his skill set mm-hmm. out there with his ability to handle a little bit. Took some nice shots, three offensive rebounds.
Yeah. I mean, again, just for him, just to get to know him a little bit better, when he was playing, of course, he's still playing against some of the G Leaguers and whoever else from the Golden State Warriors. Maybe that's where some of the comfort levels come in. But there's some other guys that we're about to talk about that didn't play that same way against these guys. So, yes, good for Isaiah Crawford. I'm excited to keep seeing him grow and develop. And then Boogie Ellis, just for him, I love, he just gets after it. And what did he shoot tonight from three? He was 3 of 5. And I love that it felt like they wanted to get him the ball at the end of the game when it was still a close game and they needed to get a three off. And I like his game as well.
Yeah, he's fearless sometimes to a fault. He's aggressive sometimes to a fault, but I do think he can shoot the rock. And I like a guy who's a guard who's like not afraid to mix it up. I feel like he plays a little bigger than he actually is out there. The 3 turnovers, not ideal, but it's also a young player who's playing with guys. He's still learning this offense. There's one point tonight where like he didn't have the ball and Mike was like yelling at him to cut. Like, you need it. This is when you're supposed to cut. Yeah. You need to cut. So he's still learning, but his confidence and his heart out there is something that you go, oh, the Kings probably want to keep that around, get him extended run in Stockton.
Yep.
Let him develop. You've got 800 guards here now, even though if you're banged up at the moment. Just let him do his thing in Stockton and get him in your system and develop him.
That's it. That's exactly it. And that's what you hope to see for some of these guys. And I like what I saw from those 3 guys. Now, if you go down the rest of the bench, just disappointed, you know, it sucks for someone like Mason Jones. You and I we've followed him now for a little bit with Stockton and everything. And just the way he's worked on his body and his game. Oh my God. In the G, he's just like, he just crushes. He kills it. And so then when you see him at this level and a longer amount of time, obviously he's getting to play at this level with and against some of these other NBA talented players, it was frustrating to see him have so many mistakes, whether it was with his I'm choking, with his fouls, turning the ball over. And so I didn't know I don't know how you tell him to like reel that in without like hurting his confidence too.
Yeah, I think through the first 2 preseason games defensively, it's just like a little too much ball watching. And maybe he's not used to playing against teams who move as much as the Golden State Warriors, but it's too much ball watching.
Late on screens or when he's getting screened and fighting over. Yeah.
And then choosing to go under on shooters, you know, and you saw it in game 1 against Buddy Hield. You saw it tonight against Pajemski, or getting out late contesting. And it's just, you know, for players that are on the fringe, right?
Yes.
And these are your moments when you're getting extended run. Like, the Kings are banged up, so some of these guys are getting, like, legit run. And if you show something with it, it could really change your outcome. But if you don't take advantage of the opportunity and you're not locked into, like, the details, that's where it gets tough. And it's also, like, defending without fouling. You know, he fouled out last game. He had 5 fouls tonight in 18 minutes, you know? So it's been a tough, and then you go offensively. He was just missing a ton of shots. He was 1 of 8 overall, 0 for 6 from downtown. He's been a good 3-point shooter. I worry less about the shot stuff. It's the other stuff where you're like, there's just too many defensive breakdowns when you come into a game where there was one tonight too. There was a miscommunication that led to a Buddy Hield wide open 3 between him and Keon Ellis, right? It was just, he lost track of where he was supposed to be. And those details matter so much for a player like him.
It's like there is someone watching you and the spotlight is on you and you have to make sure you don't make those mistakes. And it's tough and sometimes it can put a different type of pressure on you. But you've seen him work through it before. So if he does get extended run in this next game, hopefully he can just clean that up and do a much better job. And then Colby Jones would be the other one. There's something right now that feels like he's either a little deflated out there at times or his confidence isn't there, because another player, when we see him in the G League, he's stronger than everyone. He goes at people defensively, offensively. Even if he is undersized at times, he knows how he needs to shoot the ball. And it didn't ever look like he wanted to even shoot the ball. You know, he wanted to kick it out. So again, another guy that I hope that we see get extended run and just play a little different.
Yeah, Colby struggled big time offensively. And I think that what you just said is right. It's like he's not confident in his shot, I don't think. And he hasn't proven to be an efficient three-point shooter. He struggled last year in the G League, struggled when he got time in Sacramento. And he's not a good free throw shooter. That's that goes back to college.
Yep. Yep.
And so in the NBA, you got to be able to, like, if you're not knocking down threes and you're missing free throws, you have to be like, are you a lockdown defensive player?
Sure.
Can you create for your teammates? And there are some times where he doesn't do that enough. Now, late in this game against the deeper bench of the Warriors, I was like, oh, there's a confidence. I've seen that Colby before. Well, yeah. That's a nice take to the basket. Or, oh, he went in a nice late pass that got to an open teammate, like making good decisions, playing with more confidence. But it felt like when he got an early opportunity, when he was going up against some of the main Warriors, that same confidence wasn't there.
Yeah. And I think, again, I feel like he has the ability to have that confidence. Just in these opportunities, you sometimes don't get that second opportunity or that third opportunity. So you just have to take advantage of it.
In his contract situation, the Kings gave him like a 4-year deal last year when they drafted him. He's got this year left, next year left, and the team option for the third year makes like $2 million for those who are wondering what his contract status is. Because people start going, wait, okay, so who's getting cut? Well, you're not going to cut a guy who's making like $2 million a year. That doesn't make sense. But Colby is definitely in a tough spot because you're like, where are the minutes for him now?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I thought early in the season last year when he got some time with the starters, I remember going, he feels like he's got a good feel for the game. And I don't know. The confidence isn't there, in my opinion. And then the shooting just isn't good enough at this point in time.
Yeah. And it's not about building that confidence in the G League. It's about, no, these opportunities you just have to take advantage of. And I feel like he's capable, but he's got to turn it on. He's got to figure it out.
Yeah. But he's a guy that, again, I go, get him running Stockton.
For like, sure.
Develop him.
He's
not going to get time in Sacramento this year. It's a numbers game. It's just not, this team is, you know, has great aspirations. Like, in all likelihood, he's not going to get much run at all. Let him get that time in Stockton. See if you can get that confidence up and see if he can start knocking down some shots. You know, it's not like he doesn't work on these things, but like, you got to be able to do it at some point.
Yep.
That's just the reality. This is pro sports, right? So
yeah.
It sucks, but he's been disappointing. Like, to me, like, if you're doing like a stock up, stock down, it's like Colby stock took a hit, right?
I
mean, even going back to summer league, he's just not playing good enough, right? And I think they expected more from him when they drafted him. Like, oh, this guy could play right away because he's strong, he's tough, he can defend.
Absolutely.
But the other aspects of his game aren't there. And it's like, even handling the rock, you're like, you need to be more confident with the ball and being pick and roll situations. It's just not there.
Yeah. So overall, I guess the bench, I mean, unless you're going to go over everything,
I just realized we're going really deep on this preseason game.
We're going really deep. Lost.
No, I know. This is really nerdy shit.
I know.
I'm not worried about the bench because this is not the Kings bench.
For sure.
The guys we talked about tonight, is Isaac Jones playing this year for Sacramento? Maybe a little bit. Is Crawford? I don't. These guys are unlikely. We're talking about Trey Lyles is going to be in the rotation.
Right.
Right. We're talking about Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk, Alex Len, Jordan McLaughlin. Who else is playing after that?
We got it.
Another guy who didn't really play much
he's
tonight,
going.
McDaniels.
Yep.
So that's something.
Right. Something else to look after, but you don't need to dissect that whole thing tonight.
Tell me what to dissect and not
well,
to dissect
because I,
tonight.
I just think after two games and then McDaniels not getting a lot of run, but then when he, I'm not getting into it. Well, let's see what Mike Brown decides to do Sunday with a lot of these guys.
He's trying different lineups. I get it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We got more of the podcast coming up, but we should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother Sacramento. Check out mothersacramento.com. Why should people go eat at Mother Morgan Reagan?
Well, I mean, there's 100 billion different reasons. I was literally giddy when they wanted to partner with us because I love everything about Mother. I mean, if I could just tell you my favorite dish, because I could eat.
Is it the po' boy? That's mine.
No, my favorite dish is actually the collard greens. And I could literally eat like 40 pounds of these collard greens. But this is also why you should go to Mother, because every single King's game day, home or away, doesn't matter. You go in and you can pregame with your mother, baby. That's right. 50% off all drinks at Mother before games. So go pregame there always. And it's on the, it's the perfect location. Not only do I just love their place, but just where they are on K Street, it is the perfect place to go before a game, whether you're just watching it and or going to the game.
Delicious food, seasonal ingredients, and you've got people that know how to make great food.
And they're Kings fans.
Located at 2319 K Street. It's Mother. Check out mothersacramento.com. Every game day through the month of October, like Morgan said, 50% off any drinks. Thanks so much for their support. Also, shout out to our friends over at Golden One Credit Union.
Hey!
If you're a Kings fan, why would you not have a deal with Golden One Credit Union?
Why
wouldn't you bank with them? Check out this, Kings fans. You join today, you get exclusive Kings perks, like up to 50% off Kings games, home games, through Golden One's online discount ticket portal.
There you go.
You know, I'm settling for this. It's shocking.
So we're not two. We are one. We are one. And one of my favorite things too is that just at Sacramento Kings games, like you see right there, you join for up to 50% off Kings home games. I know we've already had listeners sign up. They've gone through the QR code or they go straight to the website. But at Kings games, even preseason games, you hold up your Golden One card. And I saw Scott Freshour pull someone with that card all the way down to the floor to go watch the game. And they were sitting all the way up in the second section. So again, there's so many perks. There's so many deals. There's so many great people. Obviously, they do everything with the Sacramento Kings as well, but they're doing everything with us, the Deuce and Mo podcast.
Yeah, there's so many awesome perks for being a Kings fan and a Golden One Credit Union member. That's how you win as one. Go to their website. Become a member at Golden One. com. We also mentioned Keegan Murray was our simply best player of the game. That's presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. We've been talking about Northwest for some time because, of course, you get awesome windows from them, and that changes everything. Your home value makes your house energy efficient.
Give me my money. Good.
But also, they do HVAC.
Yeah.
Got a new HVAC system through Northwest Exteriors. It's been an absolute game changer.
So now the HVAC system's in here. The windows are in here. Yeah, it gets freezing cold when you want it to in October when it's 100 degrees outside. Oh, and what's that? I don't know yet, but I'm excited to try out the heat when it's freaking freezing outside. And instead of having a blanket in here, I will have a heater that works and I will have windows that keep it heated. Thank you, Northwest.
Northwest Exteriors has awesome deals right now. So check out northwestexteriors.com. We're talking about window deals through October. They've got bundles that will save you a lot of money, and you can get your HVAC worked on too. You need a little tune-up. They do a $49 service diagnostic. Go to northwestexteriors.com because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like we got better at singing that song. And we hit it.
We sure did.
Oh, and now we have some good news, Kings fans.
I'd say it's good news. Kevin Huerter has been cleared for full contact.
Yeah.
That means he can get on the floor and start practicing with his teammates. He has been at practice, getting shots up, going 1-on-0. Like, he's doing everything, right, on the court besides actually playing in scrimmages or playing in games.
Yeah.
That is a huge sign for the Sacramento, huge positive sign for the Sacramento Kings. Getting Kevin Huerter back would be massive. He had a down year last year, but I've said this multiple times. He had a bad year. You look at his track record in the league, this guy does a lot of good out there, and I think he can really help the Kings offense. If he's coming off your bench, you have a guy who's 6'7", who can be a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, has that DHO game with Sabonis, a good decision maker, has that in-between game too. I just think he means a lot to this offense, and I think, especially with the pieces they have now, I think life becomes easier for him to get back on track.
Because of the multiple weapons that they have, it takes less pressure off him. Now, when I say less pressure, there's still going to be that pressure to be a shooter and to make your shot. But you're seeing someone like DeMar DeRozan, who is making his shot in the mid-range. I mean, that's something we saw, especially in that first year here in Sacramento for Kevin Huerter, that he is capable of doing, coming off that DHO. It doesn't matter if it's a step back. Doesn't matter if he's curling off of him and getting to the paint for a nice little midi. Like, he is very creative in his offensive game, and just hopefully he's back and better than ever again after coming off of a year like last year.
And that was a tough year for him,
It was.
It's funny, we talk about like his three-point shooting taking a dip last year, and it did.
Yeah.
It was still like higher than like Malik Monk's by a percentage, which is kind of funny just the way we talk about it, because Malik has such an impact on the game, where Kevin, you could just see his struggles.
Deflated.
And when he goes cold, it's ice cold.
And their identity was felt like a lot like live or die by the three. So if he wasn't doing his job well, and then Keegan's three-point shooting also took a dip, but he was improving with just adding different things to his offensive game, it just felt like a lot of that was falling on Kevin Huerter, and especially because he's not the best defender out there either, but he's also someone that in Mike Brown's system, that team defense, you can cover a lot of those flaws, especially if you have the right perimeter pressure that they seem to have now.
Can we give some love to all the people watching us live on a Friday night?
Oh my,
what are you guys up to?
I love this. I was like, what else do people do on a Friday night once it's King season?
Yep.
And I'm just so thankful that you're hanging out with me, because I don't get to do anything else anyway. So thanks.
Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is just help our channel grow. Daniel says, imagine Huerter and Monk consistently putting up 30 off the bench during the season. That would seal a deep postseason run. Yeah, you think like Monk and Huerter scoring 30 apiece off the bench would help the Kings? I'd say that's probably unlikely, but your overall points.
I like it.
I like it because, it's just another. Kevin Huerter started on a team that had the best offensive rating 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Even last year, like, the Kings' offense with him in the lineup was still really good. He's a good player.
Yep.
And if his role is coming off the bench, I like it, especially with Malik. I mean, I just think there's some firepower. They have some flexibility to try some different shit out there.
Luke says, preseason is my favorite season. Love it.
Because it's all hope, dude. Everyone around the league, dude, during the preseason, there could be some random guy that scores like 20. You're like, dude, like, I don't know. Like, Warriors fans tonight could be like, I'm telling you, dude, Moses Moody scored 27 tonight. Is that what he scored?
23.
He had 23 tonight, man. Like, do we even need Wiggins?
Oh, there you go.
Miss Wiggins?
Oh, which Wiggins I saw on someone's tweet sorry, I don't know who it was, but they said he won't be playing the next game, but he'll play the last
game.
He's
been sick. Yeah.
Oh, and Steph Curry jammed his finger. X-rays, negative.
So stressed about
but
that.
But he'll be ready and back for the Kings in January when they play once again.
I'm sure. Where was I going before all that? Well, the 3-point shooting tonight was a little different. Can we mention that real fast?
Yes. Yes, we can.
After hitting 28 threes last game against Sacramento, Golden State 13-34, Sacramento 13-46. Kings took 46 tonight. They clanked a lot, especially from that bench unit. Anyway, Herter cleared. Malik Monk out right now with personal issues. It's unclear if he's going to be back for Sunday's preseason game, 3 p.m. against the Blazers in Sacramento. But it doesn't, according to reports, it doesn't seem like it's anything that's going to be long term. So hope everything is going okay with Malik. And whatever's happening, we wish him the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
A couple other topics I wanted to get to. Kings open up with the Minnesota T-Wolves. Well, Shams reported today that Julius Randle could be returning like this next week.
Oh, cool.
So that means opening night, we could see a little Julius Randle with the T-Wolves.
Great. I would hope to see it. I want to see it. Bring it on. Don't you want to see it?
Of course I want to see it. I just wasn't expecting to see it.
Yeah. No. Definitely got to see it.
I am excited. I was telling you during the game, like, I'm excited to see the Kings play some different opponents too. And I know it's preseason, blah, 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 blah. But like, the Warriors don't have like a ton of size. Mm-hmm. I'm eager to see the Kings against some of these bigger teams that have given them problems with their length, right?
Yeah.
And to see what that looks like is going to be intriguing, especially when you add DeRozan into the fold.
Yeah. Different matchups will be fun. It's not going to tell the whole story or anything, but it's just something. Again, you play each other all through training camp, everything, you scrimmage against each other, then you start off your preseason, which is training camp basically, playing against the same goddamn team. You know, it's like, let's see something different.
I'm gonna ask you a question I asked you after game one.
I don't even remember.
We've seen a couple games now. Oh, I didn't ask you this specifically after game one. Yeah, but like, now that we've seen two games,
okay,
do you feel any differently about this team? You know how I feel.
Different. I know. You feel better and better every single time. I feel good. This is what I feel. I am so thankful night after night I will be able to watch a product that speaks to me, that is like my love language in basketball, and that is free flowing, beautiful offense, ball moving, people liking each other, all that shit put together on a basketball floor, and that's what I get to watch. Yes, Deuce, I am happy, and I will never take that for granted as a Kings fan, ever.
Do you think people, national media, sleeping on the Kings a little bit at this point?
I don't think a lot of people do their homework and know. Because, I mean, I saw some broadcaster tonight talking about the Sacramento. No, I don't even want to show it.
Sam Mitchell, you're talking about on yes. NBA TV. Sam Mitchell, I think, caught the NBA world by surprise tonight with like a very awkward thing that went down. No, people in the chat are mentioning it.
But before you show it, can I just say, like, what he said about Sacramento was not in this clip, but what he said about Sacramento, he kept mentioning, oh, they're all offense but no defense. And I'm like, wait, like 2 years ago, like he literally had no idea.
And then
about
they showed the starting lineup, he goes, well, it's a whole bunch of 6'5 guys. I mean, you got like, oh, except, you know, Keegan Murray's like 6'5, Draymond 6'5. I'm like, Keegan Murray's not 6'5, Sam Mitchell. And then there was this bizarre exchange. I'm just going to play it. I don't even know how to explain it. Sam Mitchell on NBA TV with Chris Miles. And it got like really awkward.
I'm surprised coaches get a paycheck for this show. You know, I think like maybe you should do this pro bono, my friend.
You know, last time I looked at my check, it's pretty close. So, hey, I'm taking donations. Why don't you come up off some of that money you got since you're over there bragging about it?
What? I'm not bragging about
it. Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you rent your beach house out down in Florida during the hurricane?
Oh, my heart.
Or do I need to go on? How about your townhouse over over at Buckhead.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm so uncomfortable.
Me out. I mean, come on.
I think
you screaming broke and hungry. Let's just see it.
What?
You know, I know what you have and where you live, young fella, so you need to stop.
I think we have snitches on the show today.
No, we don't have snitches. We have truth tellers.
Mitchell.
We have truth tellers. So you're the one who crying poor and destitute up here. When do I need to keep going on further, more and more? Or do you want me to stop right now?
Go to this game between the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors.
You're going to stop messing with me on national TV. I done told you about that. Hey, do I need to give out the address? Because you're not at home right now.
No.
I'm going to pause it there because...
He gives out the address.
He gave out the address.
He gives out a address.
I hope he just pulled that out of his ass. I don't know what happened. I see my man Manny in there saying, oh, that's how people roast each other in the Midwest.
No.
If you watch the full segment, and I went back and watched on NBA TV because I'm like, I got to see this shit. Everyone's talking about it. It was awkward.
And it's not how, like, again, Chris was trying to toss to the game and Sam Mitchell just kept going. That's not how you roast. And especially on television, I could feel the tension through the TV.
I didn't know why it turned into like a money thing. Cause I understand Chris's joke about the coaches. Yeah. Cause I think the whole thing was, oh, Steve Kerr didn't get a gold medal, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh yeah, you'd think he should get a gold medal, blah, 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 blah. And then Chris was like, well, you should do this pro bono for free. Yeah. And then I don't know if that just set Sam Mitchell off, but then he started roasting him about his house and townhouses.
I don't
and
know
vacation
what I
homes.
Would do. I honestly, in that situation, well, no, I do know what I would do, actually.
It was pretty. Just weird. And even if it was, and here's the other thing, and I see, you know, people in chat talking about this, like, even if, like, it was a joke, well, the you got to be able to execute the joke a little bit. Like, it's a little more fun when everybody's in on the joke, because if the audience at home is going, this is really awkward, and then the host seems very awkward, and the only person who's going, it's a joke, is the guy who's saying it. It didn't land. It didn't land.
Yeah, just like, you're not a comedian.
But then even before that, like his breakdown of the key, he was very so. Chris goes like this. He goes, yeah, DeMar DeRozan, 15 points on 6-6 shooting in that preseason game. And Sam's like, I mean, this is the preseason.
He said, you're giving me preseason numbers. Oh, yeah. And he was like all pissed off that he was giving him stats from the first game of just DeMar and his minutes. And it was just like, no, it was an efficient first game, like, cool. Like, you don't have to praise the shit out of him, but you could just, like, I don't know. I just, like,
it was there was weird vibes. I don't know what was going on.
I hate feeling this uncomfortable, and I wasn't even in the situation.
Yeah.
Freaking A. God.
A lot of people in chat say, that was not a joke. We need to shout out a couple of members. I saw Mr. Turtle became a member again. So did Oscar and Keegan Murray Watch. Man, love you guys.
You guys.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Oh. Give me a hell yeah.
No, appreciate everyone for always being here on a Friday night, but also all the members out there. Patreon members, everyone that's buying merch right now, holy shit, thank you so much. We have new merch that's out. You can get 15% off your entire order. Oh, if you use code BALLISLIFE at checkout. And so, yeah, we have a whole little new line right now called Ball's Life line. And it's just a fun new design that we just try to do each and every year. And this one, I feel like we were a little inspired after going to Dead & Co.
Yes.
You know, just kind of feeling the little hippie, kind of cute color vibe. Yeah. So, oh, and I'm drinking out of the mug right now. Because of course all I wear and have is Deuce and Mo merch. I am a sick, God damn it. I'm a sick human being. This is disgusting. I'm sorry. It's
Boosty really in the chat, price. By the way, says, same energy when Deuce and Mo argue live, LOL, with like Sam Mitchell and Chris tonight.
I think we call it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sometimes there'll be a little bit of a death glare if we feel like you were wrong there and you won't be in on the death glare because we're not death glaring toward the camera. But yeah, you know.
When you do 82 night chats a year plus preseason and
plus
playoffs,
breakdowns.
And then you do like TV together, at some point
You do just go, you're annoying.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're just disgusted with them.
Like,
nope, we don't need examples.
For example, it's like, it's like when like Domas gets irritated at like, I don't know,
Keegan?
No, like okay. A Mason Jones, you know, like,
okay,
I'm Domas, you're Mason Jones.
But I mean, that's, no, we're not even going there. Because then you want me to, because he had a lot of mistakes tonight.
Just a joke, dude.
I know, but then it was going to be me.
I was just acting like I was an all NBA guy. That's all, man. And
we all know you're not. So there's the joke. There's the joke.
It was a bad execution on my part.
Yeah, that was like Sam Mitchell status.
No. I am still in training camp mode with my jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are.
What were we going to say?
Just say it.
Every year, and it's fine, it's your bit, you're a prop comic, or like you got dad jokes, and they're just like, and you'll have like three really good ones for the entire season. Okay. Like, where like I am just laughing, yes, but that's three out of about 87. And all I'm saying is that if I think you can evolve. With it's just some of your like lines, like give me a line that you say, like you're like the Rudy Gobert one you probably won't use. Say it.
When I've said what's that in
what's the
years.
One? Say it. What is it?
I was just saying, like Rudy in this off season. I was curious when he was on vacation, and he goes swimming. Does he go bare, or does he wear a swimsuit? Does Rudy go bare, or does he wear a swimsuit? That's a funny joke, and it's old. I said that when he was like in Utah.
And look how he's still defending it. All I'm saying is that we can all evolve as comedians, as podcasters, as broadcasters, as all the things.
Chat's roasting me too, man. This is rough. My God, 3 of 87.
Preseason form.
Insane. Also, a couple of notes around the NBA. Paul George made his Sixers debut tonight. He had 23 points. Where are you at with the Sixers?
I don't know. It's the same thing I said. It's a different team, man.
It's crazy.
It's the same thing I said over the summer. Like, if healthy, can't you see some success in the Eastern Conference? But then there's Boston and New York.
Yeah, right? I mean, I just look at Philly and you say if healthy, I go, yeah, they're not going to be healthy when it counts. And when Joel Embiid can show me in late April into May that he's not playing on one leg, I'll just believe it. I just don't see it. And it doesn't mean he can't accomplish amazing things. The guy's won an MVP. He puts up massive numbers. The Sixers should win a lot of games.
Yep.
Paul George is a really good player. He stayed relatively healthy last year. Will he this year? That's a question.
Tyrese Maxey's really good player.
I love Tyrese Maxey.
And again, it's not like they just have, Tyrese Maxey, Paul George, and Joel Embiid. But what it does when some of these injury-prone players have to sit out, it screws with your identity and your system and what you're trying to accomplish together. And then you have to like plug and play all the damn time when you're trying to beat the defending champ and then a team that somehow in one off season got Carl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. Like it's going to be tough, but you talk about that with the Sixers. It's the same thing that you said to me when we saw the commercial with Kawhi and Anthony Edwards about to like jump ball. And it's like an NBA commercial. And we're like, why is Kawhi even in this commercial? Like he literally, and it's not even mean. It's he doesn't play. He's not playing to start this season.
The latest we saw was that the Clippers are not sure if Kawhi will be healthy by the start of the season. And
he's still
trying to strengthen that right knee. Ty Lue said the other day he's getting treatment. He's going through the process, rehabbing his right knee. Lue was asked whether Leonard had done anything in practice. No. Will Leonard be ready for the opener? Lue was asked. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The Kawhi Leonard thing is just so sad. It's just like when he was prime Kawhi,
yep.
was so freaking good. Like there was a stretch where going,
is he the best in the game?
I know.
Is he the guy?
It's not even like, I feel like some of these guys aren't even what ifs. It's sadly just who, it's who they are. And when I say that, that doesn't take away from the unique talent that they have. It's just so all bodies are built differently, and some bodies cannot take injuries and or cannot take physicality in these type of sports.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, yeah, it's always just sad.
So last year, one other NBA thing I wanted to bring up to you.
Yeah.
Now that we're just talking random NBA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last year I said I was buying Ben Simmons stock? Because it was so low, and I was like, this is it. This is a good opportunity for him, fresh start. Obviously, it wasn't great for him last year. Again, the Ben Simmons hype train is starting to like come back a little bit.
For you or for
not the for me? NBA I'm world. I'm going to officially announce, and this is probably gonna be bad for me. I just sold my stock at a loss. I'm out. Yeah. I just went. I don't believe it anymore. And a couple.
You're so rich, you can afford a house down in Florida, huh?
That's funny.
Thank you.
But you're seeing people like talk about Ben Simmons saying, "Dude, he kind of looks like that All Star. He's healthy now, man."
Believe it when you see it. Can we get in?
Yeah, and that's why when there was a leak about like, hey, I've seen him in the gym and man, he looks like the old Ben Simmons again. I'm like, if I'm Ben Simmons, I'm irritated at that person. Just stop talking about what you're seeing. I would rather just go out and show on the floor.
With no pressure.
And there's like a part of me that's kind of excited just at the possibilities of seeing a Nets team with like no expectations, but like they do have like, there's like, they're not going to be good, but there's pieces there. Yeah, and
sure,
maybe it's my bias toward Jordy Fernandez, who's taking over that job. Like his ability to inspire and build guys up. I'm intrigued to see what it looks like. But like, man, we haven't seen that Ben Simmons in years. No. Like how are we just all of a sudden going to see it?
Right. So I mean, it's believe it when we see it. And I mean no disrespect when I say these type of things because I want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was someone 2 years ago, you and I both were just like, oh, can it happen? We're rooting for it. And it's like, not only because of his size and what he could do with the ball. I mean, he's a playmaker. He is someone that can be strong and get to the basket. But then when you saw that starting to go away more and more because he was afraid of getting fouled and didn't want to get to the free throw line, didn't want to shoot the basketball. It was like, okay, now he's just a passer. Okay, and he can be a defender. And then just felt like everything kept getting worse and worse. So, I mean, at least he's made a lot of money.
I hope it's bigger than that for him.
I know.
I was going to read the quote from Jordy Fernandez talking about Ben Simmons. He says, a healthy Ben Simmons is a very, very good player. That's what I focus on. I don't have social media. I know that ultimately social media brings out the worst in people because if you want to be heard, you have to say something negative, and negative outweighs 10 positives. But I'm happy with where Ben is and with how he's performing each day. So,
amen.
That's exactly it. Like, just there's talent there. And I think that what people struggle with him is like when he was right, he was like 24 years old and he's only 28. So there's a party that's like, well, what if it could happen now? If it does, it's one of the best stories ever. And they'll make a goddamn movie about Ben Simmons. But
until then, until then,
Let's get the final thoughts, Morgan Reagan, because we're back again on Sunday afternoon after Kings Blazers late afternoon evening.
Love it. Excited that it's an afternoon. Final thoughts after game two. Excited to not play the Golden State Warriors in game three.
Give me a hell yeah.
How do we go almost an entire podcast without mentioning that the Stockton Kings acquired the player rights to Drew Timmy, who is on the Summer League team, the Gonzaga star? He is now a member of the Stockton Kings.
Well, there you go. You said it.
What a big deal.
As part of your final thought.
Look out, 209. My final thought? Cool, man. I think after Sunday, I'm going to be irritated with the preseason.
Okay.
I want the real thing to start. I'm excited to see where this goes. I get excited now every time I see DeMar DeRozan take the floor.
Let's go. Let's effing go.
I love it. And I love that it's a Friday night.
Do us a favor after the show. Comments help us grow. Thumbs up help us grow. Subs help us grow. Spread the word. We love you guys, but we got to go.
Dude, thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday night. We'll see you Sunday. Bye.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.